College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride It Home with Rich, brought to you by Mosby Building Arts and Aqua Systems, with additional support from Seniors Home Care and the Missouri Athletic Club. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right, good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride It Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris. I will be right here for the next hour to help you, the listener, with all your home's needs, talk everything about the home, any questions you may have, inside, outside, up, down, all around, foundation to roof. I'm your man today. Feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. And, you know, for about 19 years now, I have been helping Mosby clients. I started as a project manager, scheduling, purchasing the building products, actually building the actual projects. And now as a senior sales consultant, I help correct home issues and plan out some of the best home remodeling projects in St. Louis. Basically, I help kind of redevelop houses into comfortable homes that function well and will last for many, many years to come. So to help me explain today what Mosby can deliver, I have a longtime repeat client of mine, Kimberly Vitel, will be joining us here. You can hear her story and why she continues to choose Mosby over and over again. And also, Kimberly is a board member of one of my favorite organizations, CASA of St. Louis. So stay tuned to hear all about how they help our St. Louis area children that are in foster care. Really great thing, great organization. We'll get all into that a little bit later in the show. And we can't forget at the midpoint of the show, today's hack: why should you shovel your concrete even if you don't plan on using it? So stick around for that information. As always, I'm here to answer any questions you may have during the whole thing. So the numbers, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. But so for now, I want to get started with my longtime client and board member of CASA, Kimberly Vitel. Hey, Kimberly, how are you doing today?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for inviting me to join you today.
Awesome. You know, I really appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday for this. We've got some really good, you know, causes to talk about. Hopefully we can get some interest from people in all of that. We've got some, you know, great Mosby stories. The number of years we've been working for you and the amount of jobs is kind of insurmountable. So, you know, we could have some really great conversations, story, you know, about how all that's happened and everything. But I like to kind of just start out with you and just kind of get to know you for everybody. And a little fun thrown in there with that, too. But so just kind of start out. Have you always been in the St. Louis area? Are you from St. Louis originally?
No, I'm not originally from St. Louis. I have been here about 15 years, maybe a little longer than that. I'm originally from California, but okay. I moved to St. Louis from Hawaii, actually, and really never looked back. I really enjoy St. Louis.
Wow. So you let, boy, I don't know, that Hawaii thing's not sounding bad with our temperatures right now.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So real quick, what I'd like to do is get into just kind of a easy list of like some lightning round questions, just kind of this or that. What's your favorite, stuff like that. Running through some of these, are you a night owl or an early bird?
I'm probably more of an early bird.
Okay. So I know the answer to this one, but everybody else doesn't. Dogs or cats?
Yeah, definitely cats. I have one on my lap right now.
Yeah. Awesome. Would you do the beach or the mountains?
Ah, this is a question my family and I always discuss: mountains. I'm mountains, but I love the view of the ocean. So you can't beat water, but mountains.
Yeah, and so now that you have been in St. Louis for quite a while, and you get to see all the different seasons, what is your favorite season?
Ah, the fall. I love one of the things I love about St. Louis is that we do have four seasons, and the fall is just amazing. I think it's beautiful. It means that the hot weather is over, and it means that the holidays are coming.
Yeah. So are you a legal pad or an iPad?
Oh, I am probably a little bit of both. I think I'm probably in that tween generation, as it were. I have an iPad, but I definitely like to write things down.
Yeah, okay. So getting into a few kind of St. Louis things around here, too. Would you do thin crust or deep dish?
Oh, I like both. I'm a huge pizza fan, so it really depends on my mood. I love something like Fortell's thin crust, but on the other hand, there are days when Pie Pizzeria can't be beat.
Yeah, absolutely. So barbecue or Mexican?
Oh, that's another one. Okay, so I'm a huge food lover. So again, that would be, you can't beat St. Louis barbecue. I have to admit, I almost never eat it if I'm not in the state of Missouri, because you can't beat St. Louis barbecue. But being from California, Mexican, I love a good Mexican.
Okay, so would you do Fritz's or Ted Drew's?
Ted Drew's.
Okay, so would you go to the Arch or the City Museum?
Ah, that's a great question. Good weather, the Arch. Bad weather, City Museum.
Okay. Botanical Garden or the Zoo?
Botanical Garden. So, Botanical Gardens. Again, I would say depending on the weather, but Botanical Garden.
Yeah. Grant's Farm or the Magic House?
Grant's Farm for sure.
Awesome. And what's your favorite type of music?
I would go like a rock folk kind of thing, probably.
Okay. So, perfect. So, hey, that is so much fun. I love doing those with everybody and getting to know everybody. So we're going to get into our first break here, and we can get more into, you know, the projects that we've done and choosing Mosby and what you love about it and all that sort of stuff when we return from the break. So you good to stick around with me for the rest of the hour?
Yep. Sounds great. Thanks, Rich.
Awesome. We also have Eric on the line. So when we get back from the break, I can grab him, take his questions, and then we'll get into a lot of fun, exciting Mosby stuff. So we will be right back. All right, we are back, and I want to get right into this so we can get through it all. So if Eric was great enough to hold the line through the break and everything, so if we get Eric on the line with me, I'll get to his question, and then we'll get back to some of the Mosby stuff with Kimberly. Eric, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing today? What do you got going on?
All right, so I'm getting ready to purchase my first home down in DeSoto, one of the old-style 100-year-old two-story homes. And it looks like they added one of the bedrooms on the downstairs floor, and I'm wanting to add a secondary entry point because the actual entry point's on the back of the house, and I wanted something to help with better airflow. So I was looking at installing, like, maybe French doors or just a regular door towards the front of the house on that bedroom. I was just kind of curious what kind of trouble I'd be going through with that being my first DIY, you know, to tackle ever.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So what is on the outside of the home type of siding wise? Is it brick or is it like a wood siding?
You know what? I'm not sure what kind of siding's underneath the, it looks like it's a ceramic possibly on the outside. The house has definitely been updated in recent years.
Okay.
But
okay.
I want it for the interior, not an exterior entry point. Does that make sense?
Okay. But it will go through the an exterior wall to the outside, correct?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh,
maybe
you're just going from room to room.
Exactly. Yeah, I just want better airflow through the house.
Gotcha. Okay. No. So the biggest thing that you will be up against is figuring out, especially if this was an addition off of the house, knowing if that wall is load bearing and what kind of, support you need for that. So basically, if it's an old exterior wall of the home and then the rooms off of that, and that's where you're cutting through, it's probably for certain going to be, a load bearing wall holding up a second floor, something like that above it. So you will need, when you cut everything open, you will need to, get a header and all of that stuff and the jacks and the support system and everything to widen that opening, to get that big of an opening across there. That's going to be probably your biggest challenge, is making sure of that and then knowing, what size, how much is above it and what size needs to go in there. And you may need to do some temporary support where you kind of build a wall under the floor joist, like 2 feet away from where this opening is going to be, between the first and the second floor, the first floor and the ceiling, to kind of support that so it doesn't sag or have anything happen, while you've got that out. And then you can get your header, everything, cut it all open, get your header and everything and put in and installed. Then you're down to, are you a good taper, and all of that is the drywall repair, tape, mud, paint, and installing your door trim around it, widening the trim opening with it and everything else. So it's a pretty good endeavor you're getting into. If you feel inclined that you could get through it, I may suggest just getting a structural engineer to maybe look at the house and say, yep, you can put an opening here, and then he can let you know, is the wall load bearing, and he can also let you know the size of the header that you would need to put in there in order to support what's above it. So
okay,
I wish you a lot of luck on that. You're diving in deep, but it's definitely something you could probably get accomplished. I just maybe look for that upfront support from that engineer. Probably cost you a few hundred dollars, but in the end, you'll know you got it right.
Okay. Is that something I can go through Mosby to get assistance with?
So to do engineering like that, we would refer you out to like Frontenac Engineering. Because they would have an actual structural engineer that could come out, take a look, charge just kind of like an hourly visit thing, and then give you the advice and or, a little extra charge to like write up something that says, or draw up something, says, here's your header, here's the size, here's how tall, here's how thick, here's how to put it together. That way you got the right size and support and everything that you need.
All right. Sounds great. I appreciate the help, sir.
Awesome. No problem. I appreciate the call. Excellent question. And good luck getting that taken care of. And so if we could jump back here to Kimberly and maybe talk about the giant beam we put in Kimberly's house to create her master suite addition off the back of her house, running through that. Are you still with us, Kimberly?
Yep, I'm still here.
Awesome. So one of the things, I would go into, right away is, how long, so you've been here like 15 years or so. So I know we've been doing work for you pretty much that entire time. So we must have been one of the first companies you got with after coming to St. Louis.
Yeah. Mosby was recommended by a friend of mine who has a beautiful home, which is, the perfect person to recommend a contractor, right?
Yeah.
And I was new to St. Louis, and I'd never owned a home before, so I was a little bit like Eric in that it was my first home. And I never owned a home, never hired a contractor, and so I took that recommendation, and it's worked out very, very well. So...
Awesome. And you know, I talk all the time about the different types of projects that we do. It's definitely one of the things that a lot of people love about us is big or small, anything in between. We do pretty much everything. Can you just maybe mention, you know, a few of the different projects and different size projects that we've performed for you?
Sure. We've probably done about 12 projects together. We've done a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the first project you and I did together was actually really small. We replaced a couple of toilets in my new house. And then we've done everything up to the Master Suite Edition, which was about 4 years ago. So that was obviously a huge project. Outdoors, we've redone the front entryway, painted the house. So outdoors, indoors, and everything from toilets to a master suite. So a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're actually a story that I kind of tell people all the time to kind of describe what we're trying to, you know, how we're trained and what we're trying to accomplish here at Mosby and how we like to treat people and everything. Because I remember before the Master Suite Edition, when I came out and we were talking about the bathroom in the basement and maybe doing something with it. And, you know, there was so many complications with the, you know, the low ceilings and the electrical and trying to do everything properly and to code and everything. You know, I was kind of like, and you took the advice, and I kind of said, you know, maybe we just save this money for the master suite, and then you've got your other bathroom, and then you can fix up the bathroom your sister will be using upstairs and everything, and why put all this into that? And, you know, it's just something that we kind of strive for, is being that advisor and everything, and really, you know, trying to help out that way. It's not what the project is or the size of the project. It's more, you know, getting to the right one and getting what works for you, the client, and, you know, and thinking about the whole picture all the way through, you know, down the road. So we're going to get into our second break here real quick, but after the break, I'll have my hack. And then, Kimberly, when we return, I'd like to touch on kind of that, just real quick, that process and you know, what you love about that. And then we can get into this Casa of St. Louis, too. So we're going to take a break. We'll get into all of that when we return.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, we are back live here today, really having a great time, and I got my hat coming here, but I wanted to say first, I wanted to thank everybody from last week on Facebook Live and from, you know, listening to the show on 97.1 FM. So we started our food drive. I announced everything on the show, on the radio. There's a $100 gift card you can win. Mosby will match up to $5,000 in donations. So we have this going for Operation Food Search. And if you go to our website, callmosby.com, and get on the links through there to donate, that's how we'll get to match it. And so the great part is we actually have already collected $3,300 in our first week. And last Saturday, during the show from the radio program, someone donated $1,000 during that show. It just warms my heart. Everybody, anything you can help, even if it's $5, it's an awesome thing to do. And if you stay tuned on 97.1 through the rest of this, we'll be talking about Casa of St. Louis and how we can help support children through them. So another great thing we're going to be talking about. But for today, We have, so we had our first little snow flurry the other day during the week, and, you know, kind of got me thinking about freeze-thaw cycles and all of that and starting some of the winter advice stuff. So today's hack is actually, you know, why should you shovel your concrete even if it's not going to be used when it snows? So if you think about it, snow is insulating. So if you get the first snow, you got 4 inches or so of snow, it kind of insulates that concrete real good as and everything freezes. So as the day passes, if it warms up, the sun comes out, starts melting some of that snow, water runs down into that concrete, into the pores. It kind of thaws out the insulate, you know, the snow acts as an insulator, warms it up, lets it thaw. Then it refreezes with that overnight low. And this happens multiple times through a winter season here in St. Louis, like up to 60 or so times a winter will we have thaw and freeze from day to night. It's the reason the concrete spalls and breaks up. When water gets in the pores, that concrete expands, starts to break apart that concrete. Think of a pore in the concrete as a little tiny soda can filled up, and now you freeze it and pow, that thing just breaks open, expands outside of the can. You know, it is a real thing. We've changed our roofing systems over the years because of ice damming and ice growing up under the roof shingles and stuff. So it's something worth doing. Shovel that snow to kind of get that all off of there and let that happen less often as much as you can. And so I'm going to say goodbye to Facebook for now, but join us on 97.1. We'll talk about Casa of St. Louis and how we can help them out too. And don't forget, you can see all of this, the hacks and everything, on either my Twitter at Rich Orris or Facebook, Rich Orris Mosby, and you can find it all there during the week and hear it right here every Saturday. So I'm going to get kind of back to this with you, Kimberly, if you're still there.
I'm still here.
Awesome. So real quick, I did want to kind of just touch on, you know, all those different projects we've done for you. But when we did the Master Suite Edition, you know, you really went through the full cycle of the design build and all of that stuff. So you had some ideas, but can you just kind of touch real quick on, you know, how that process worked and helped and, you know, all of that when we did that Master Suite Edition?
Well, I knew that I wanted to build, to have a Master Suite Edition, and I knew kind of broadly what I wanted in the bathroom and how big I wanted the bedroom to be, and we kind of blew out the back of the house basically, and I also extended the size of one of the guest bedrooms, and now I call it a mini suite.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I kind of talked about it, and that's how it started, and you're really great about giving me an idea of, you know, what's feasible, what things are going to cost, so I can always kind of wrap my head around that. And it's always very truthful. It might not be exactly what I want to hear, but it's always very honest. And so that kind of got things started, and then this was a project where I was able to work with one of the designers at Mosby, and Jill actually, you know, designed the addition. I came in and saw the designs and then made comments. And I always say I'm a better editor than I am a creator. So that was a really fun process for me. I've got the idea, but then really someone else needs to figure it out. And then I can say, oh, maybe move this here, which is basically what we did. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And that, you know, really being able to talk it through, see options, and, you know, really get into some of those possibilities with, you know, multiple people, two heads better than one, the construction, like myself, looking at it along the whole way. How is it possible? Can we even, you know, how do we even get it done? I just had one where we're going to do three bathrooms in their house, and they had, you know, a really good idea of kind of how they wanted to redo this one hall bath so it could be, a little, you know, more wheelchair accessible for the parents and guests and things like that, and for the future. But and actually, Jill Warbeck was working on this one with me, and you know, we showed them their idea and how things fit and all of that. But man, Jill really came up with an idea that blew it out of the water with me and everything before. And then once they saw, you know, her idea of how to set that bathroom up, it was like, wow, you know, it was exactly what you're saying. I'm a better editor and I can talk about the pieces I want to keep in it, but man, did that really come up with a great, perfect layout that really worked with them. And it was a little more cost effective actually, performing it that way. So it was kind of like a win-win thing. But yeah, that's, you know, I love being able to do that for people. And I love, you know, just being able to help out. And then, you know, clients like yourself are just so happy in the end. You know, it's just amazing. But I think, you know, we've got enough on that because we're going to be in a break here in a couple minutes. But I do want to touch on the CASA thing. And then in the last segment, we can, you know, finish out that CASA stuff. But can you just real quick explain to people what is CASA of St. Louis and kind of who are you helping?
Absolutely. So CASA is an acronym, and it stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, we are back live here today, really having a great time, and I got my hat coming here, but I wanted to say first, I wanted to thank everybody from last week on Facebook Live and from, you know, listening to the show on 97.1 FM. So we started our food drive. I announced everything on the show, on the radio. There's a $100 gift card you can win. Mosby will match up to $5,000 in donations. So we have this going for Operation Food Search. And if you go to our website, callmosby.com, and get on the links through there to donate, that's how we'll get to match it. And so the great part is we actually have already collected $3,300 in our first week. And last Saturday, during the show from the radio program, someone donated $1,000 during that show. It just warms my heart. Everybody, anything you can help, even if it's $5, it's an awesome thing to do. And if you stay tuned on 97.1 through the rest of this, we'll be talking about CASA of St. Louis and how we can help support children through them. So another great thing we're going to be talking about. But for today, we had our first little snow flurry the other day during the week. And, you know, kind of got me thinking about freeze-thaw cycles and all of that and starting some of the winter advice stuff. So today's hack is actually, you know, why should you shovel your concrete even if it's not going to be used when it snows? So if you think about it, snow is insulating. So if you get the first snow, you got 4 inches or so of snow, it kind of insulates that concrete real good as and everything freezes. So as the day passes, if it warms up, the sun comes out, starts melting some of that snow, water runs down into that concrete, into the pores, it kind of thaws out the insulate, you know, the snow acts as an insulator, warms it up, lets it thaw, then it refreezes with that overnight low. And this happens multiple times through a winter season here in St. Louis, like up to 60 or so times a winter will we have thaw and freeze from day to night. It's the reason the concrete spalls and breaks up. When water gets in the pores, that concrete expands, starts to break apart that concrete. Think of a pore in the concrete as a little tiny soda can filled up, and now you freeze it and pow, that thing just breaks open, expands outside of the can. You know, it is a real thing. We've changed our roofing systems over the years because of ice damming and ice growing up under the roof shingles and stuff. So it's something worth doing. shovel that snow to kind of get that all off of there and let that happen less often as much as you can. And so I'm going to say goodbye to Facebook for now, but join us on 97.1. We'll talk about Casa of St. Louis and how we can help them out too. And don't forget, you can see all of this, the hacks and everything, on either my Twitter at Rich Orris or Facebook, Rich Orris Mosby, and you can find it all there during the week and hear it right here every Saturday. So I'm going to get kind of back to this with you, Kimberly, if you're still there.
I'm still here.
Awesome. So real quick, I did want to kind of just touch on, you know, all those different projects we've done for you. But when we did the Master Suite Edition, you know, you really went through the full cycle of the design build and all of that stuff. So you had some ideas, but can you just kind of touch real quick on, you know, how that process worked and helped and, you know, all of that when we did that Master Suite Edition?
Well, I knew that I wanted to build, to have a Master Suite Edition, and I knew kind of broadly what I wanted in the bathroom and how big I wanted the bedroom to be, and we kind of blew out the back of the house basically, and I also extended the size of one of the guest bedrooms, and now I call it a mini suite. But you know, you and I kind of talked about it, and that's how it started, and you're really great about giving me an idea of, you know, what's feasible, what things are going to cost, so I can always kind of wrap my head around that. And it's always very truthful. It might not be exactly what I want to hear, but it's always very honest. And so that kind of got things started. And then this was a project where I was able to work with one of the designers at Mosby, and Jill actually, you know, designed the addition. I came in and saw the designs and then made comments. And I always say I'm a better editor than I am a creator. So that was a really fun process for me. I've got the idea, but then really someone else needs to figure it out. And then I can say, oh, maybe move this here, which is basically what we did. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And that, you know, really being able to talk it through, see options, and, you know, really get into some of those possibilities with, you know, multiple people, two heads better than one, the construction, like myself, looking at it along the whole way. How is it possible? Can we even, you know, how do we even get it done? I just had one where we're going to do three bathrooms in their house, and they had, you know, a really good idea of kind of how they wanted to redo this one hall bath so it could be a little, you know, more wheelchair accessible for the parents and guests and things like that, and for the future. But and actually Jill Warbeck was working on this one with me, and you know, we showed them their idea and how things fit and all of that, but man, Jill really came up with an idea that blew it out of the water with me and everything before. And then once they saw, you know, her idea of how to set that bathroom up, it was like, wow, you know, it was exactly what you're saying. I'm a better editor and I can talk about the pieces I want to keep in it, but man, did that really come up with a great, perfect layout that really worked with them. And it was a little more cost effective actually, performing it that way. So it was kind of like a win-win thing. But yeah, that's, you know, I love being able to do that for people. And I love, you know, just being able to help out. And then, you know, clients like yourself are just so happy in the end. You know, it's just amazing. But I think, you know, we've got enough on that because we're going to be in a break here in a couple minutes. But I do want to touch on the Casa thing. And then in the last segment, we can, you know, finish out that Casa stuff. But can you just real quick explain to people what is Casa of St. Louis and kind of who are you helping?
Absolutely. So CASA is an acronym, and it stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And we have volunteers, whom we call CASAs. They complete more than 30 hours of training, and then they advocate within the courts and in the community in the best interest of kids in foster care. So we work to ensure that the child is receiving and benefiting from court-ordered services, which are related to education and physical and mental health. In addition to that, we provide recommendations on placement. We make sure that okay. family visits are happening as they ought to. And ultimately, the CASA volunteers provide hope, trust, and reliability.
Yeah, and that, you know, they've been saying it for years, you know, children are the future. It's so important, you know, do everything we can for children and everything. So it is such a touching thing that they do. And when I went to last year, you know, that the big thing you guys held,
the gala, yeah,
fundraiser gala and all that, was it was just hearing the people and the stories and all of the stuff was such an amazing, you know, thing for me to really realize how many and how often and, you know, that sort of thing. But so do these volunteers, do they actually ever house any of these children themselves?
No, they're not. The volunteers aren't foster parents.
Okay.
So their role is to advocate with the courts for the child's needs to, and part of that training goes to helping them recognize perhaps when a child is behind in education or whether, so maybe they need a customized education plan, whether they need either mental or physical medical care. And it's basically saying to the courts, we see this need, and asking the court to then order that service for the child.
Gotcha. That's just really amazing. So I want to get a little bit deeper into this, and we'll get out there, you know, how we can help and what's going on, you know, right now with how you're even getting through it all with COVID and everything. So we're going to get into our final break, and then we'll pick back up with the rest of all this great CASA information when we return. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Last segment of Right at Home with Rich. I have with me Kimberly Vitel, a lifetime, longtime Mosby repeat client and also board member of CASA of St. Louis. And we're kind of touching on that organization and, you know, what I really want to get into what we can do to help and how we can help. And I guess I'd probably start, Kimberly, with, you know, maybe discussing like how has the pandemic affected CASA's ability to help and fundraising and everything else, you know, with what you're trying to accomplish?
There's definitely been an impact. The courts quickly adapted to the virtual work environment that many of us are now accustomed to.
Yes.
And similarly, our staff and the CASA volunteers switched instantly to virtual visits and support. So we have teams of new CASA volunteers who've actually only ever worked in the virtual advocacy environment. But one really difficult thing about the pandemic is that children are spending 2 to 3 months longer in foster care. On average, kids already spend 27 months in foster care. So we've
Wow.
extended that now. Yeah, and we're at, you know, 2.5 years of their lives in foster care. So while it's best that we can visit with the children in their placement, until that's safe to do, we're going to continue supporting our community's most vulnerable kids virtually. And
gotcha.
I will say there's been a positive development kind of in the era of Zoom, and that is that we've actually experienced an increase in the number of people attending our orientation sessions to become CASA volunteers. So not everything is bad. There are some silver linings.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were just yesterday we had a meeting with Mosby with a bunch of us, and we were discussing, you know, what do we think is going to stick after this is over. You know, mm-hmm. some of the virtual stuff, some of the electronic docu-signing and things like that. And, you know, it's pretty interesting, everyone's idea of, you know, how might homeowners and everybody be different and what might actually stick through this, you know, afterwards. Like, why change it? It works so well. And there is some advantages, you know. But I remember when we were at the fundraiser gala, and they were talking about when, you know, the need for having someone to help support these kids, and when they leave their home, like when they're taken out to go to the foster care, basically leaving with one trash bag full of their stuff. And I was just, you know, gosh, you look back and everyone thinks their childhood was horrible, right? And then all of a sudden you hear that as a grown adult and raising your own children, and you go, yeah, that's crazy. It's insane, you know. That so what a good thing to have individual people that can just help out and make sure these children are getting, you know, what they need and all of that. But, you know, so my next question would be, with, you know, COVID and the pandemic and all that stuff, and not being able to have these big functions, and, you know, a lot of these organizations that I've been talking to, you know, are doing things differently to kind of help out. So how can people find you guys? How can they donate, and how can they help?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we are certainly impacted. We did not have a gala this year, so we postponed it, and then ultimately just said, we're going to try this again in 2021. So for any nonprofit organization, those events can be 50% of what you bring in, and so they're incredibly important. What we need, the most simple thing is to donate through our website, which is stlcasa.org. And while we did have to cancel the 2020 gala, which was celebrating our 40 years of service, it's our 40-year anniversary this year, we have launched a monthly giving program, and we're hoping that people will donate $40 a month in honor of our 40th. But we're happy for $10 a month or $5 a month. We would just love to have the participation. So that would be the simple way to help. And then if you have the time and the desire to work directly with our team in advocating for children in foster care, then we would love for you to consider becoming a CASA volunteer. It is incredibly rewarding work, and it's incredibly important work. And you can learn more about that also on our website or by connecting with Ashley. And she's at abonner@stlcasa.org.
Okay. Yeah, and as I was kind of checking out, you know, some of the stats and looking at the webpage and stuff, and you know, you start to see all these statistics and everything, and it's like, so when it shows, you know, that like on average 68 children per month are entering foster care, and if you're in there for 2.5 years, you know, I got to imagine the need is so much greater than, you know, to have the actual CASA volunteers and everything than we could probably ever imagine, you know.
Yeah.
So I I appreciate the work that you do with them, too, because I know you're a large part of that. You're on the board, right? So you kind of help develop all this stuff and set all that stuff up and everything. So that's, you know, I thank you for coming on with me today, but I also thank you for your service with CASA and everything, and in helping make such a great difference, you know, in our community in St. Louis, and just helping out. And again, I would urge everybody out there, you know, go to that website, check it out. And if you could do $5 a month or a $20 one-time thing, whatever, please, please do that. So Kimberly, we're just about out of time, but I appreciate you very much being on with me today. I hope it was fun for you.
It was really fun. Rich, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the chance to talk about CASA. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate you coming on, and I had a blast. And for everybody else, be good, be kind, donate, and I will talk to everybody next week. All right, we are back. Last segment of Right at Home with Rich. I have with me Kimberly Vitel, a lifetime, longtime Mosby repeat client and also board member of CASA of St. Louis. And we're kind of touching on that organization and, you know, what I really want to get into what we can do to help and how we can help. And I guess I'd probably start, Kimberly, with, you know, maybe discussing like how has the pandemic affected CASA's ability to help and fundraising and everything else, you know, with what you're trying to accomplish?
There's definitely been an impact. The courts quickly adapted to the virtual work environment that many of us are now accustomed to.
Yes.
And similarly, our staff and the CASA volunteers switched instantly to virtual visits and support. So we have teams of new CASA volunteers who've actually only ever worked in the virtual advocacy environment. But one really difficult thing about the pandemic is that children are spending 2 to 3 months longer in foster care. On average, kids already spend 27 months in foster care. So we've extended that now. Yeah, and we're at, you know, 2.5 years of their lives in foster care. So while it's best that we can visit with the children in their placement, until that's safe to do, we're going to continue supporting our community's most vulnerable kids virtually. And
gotcha.
I will say there's been a positive development kind of in the era of Zoom, and that is that we've actually experienced an increase in the number of people attending our orientation sessions to become CASA volunteers. So not everything is bad. There are some silver linings.
Yeah. So, we were just yesterday, we had a meeting with Mosby with a bunch of us, and we were discussing, you know, what do we think is going to stick after this is over? You know, mm-hmm. some of the virtual stuff, some of the electronic docu-signing and things like that. And, you know, it was pretty interesting, everyone's idea of, you know, how might homeowners and everybody be different and what might actually stick through this, you know, afterwards. Like, why change it? It works so well. And there is some advantages, you know. But I remember when we were at the fundraiser gala, and they were talking about when, you know, the need for having someone to help support these kids, and when they leave their home, like when they're taken out to go to the foster care, basically leaving with one trash bag full of their stuff. And I was just, you know, gosh, you look back and everyone thinks their childhood was horrible, right? And then all of a sudden you hear that as a grown adult and raising your own children, and you go, yeah, that's crazy. It's insane, you know. That so what a good thing to have individual people that can just help out and make sure these children are getting, you know, what they need and all of that. But, you know, so my next question would be, with, you know, COVID and the pandemic and all that stuff, and not being able to have these big functions, and, you know, a lot of these organizations that I've been talking to, you know, are doing things differently to kind of help out. So how can people find you guys? How can they donate, and how can they help?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we are certainly impacted. We did not have a gala this year, so we postponed it, and then ultimately just said, we're going to try this again in 2021. So for any nonprofit organization, those events can be 50% of what you bring in, and so they're incredibly important. What we need, the most simple thing, is to donate through our website, which is stlcasa.org. And okay. we're Well, we did have to cancel the 2020 gala, which was celebrating our 40 years of service. It's our 40-year anniversary this year. We have launched a monthly giving program, and we're hoping that people will donate $40 a month in honor of our 40th. But we're happy for $10 a month or $5 a month. We would just love to have the participation. So that would be the simple way to help. And then if you have the time and the desire to work directly with our team in advocating for children in foster care, then we would love for you to consider becoming a CASA volunteer. It is incredibly rewarding work, and it's incredibly important work. And you can learn more about that also on our website or by connecting with Ashley. And she's at abonner@stlcasa.org.
Okay. Yeah, and as I was kind of checking out, you know, some of the stats and looking at the web page and stuff, and you know, you start to see all these statistics and everything, and it's like, so when it shows, you know, that like on average 68 children per month are entering foster care, and if you're in there for 2.5 years, you know, I gotta imagine the need is so much greater than, you know, to have the actual CASA volunteers and everything than we could probably ever imagine, you know?
Yeah.
So I I appreciate the work that you do with them too, because I know you're a large part of that. So you're on the board, right? So you kind of help develop all this stuff and set all that stuff up and everything. So that's, you know, I thank you for coming on with me today, but I also thank you for your service with CASA and everything, and in helping make such a great difference, you know, in our community in St. Louis, and just helping out. And again, I would urge everybody out there, you know, go to that website, check it out. And if you could do $5 a month or a $20 one-time thing, whatever, please, please do that. So, Kimberly, we're just about out of time, but I appreciate you very much being on with me today. I hope it was fun for you.
It was really fun. Rich, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the chance to talk about CASA. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate you coming on, and I had a blast. And for everybody else, be good, be kind, donate, and I will talk to everybody next week.